issue.
We just do the nominee thing towards that.
Because it's just everyone.
Gotcha.
Good morning. We're glad to see each of you here today. It's been a good week. It's been a hot week again, but it's been a good week. Anybody, we started this a little bit last week. Anybody got anything they're thankful for this week? And I didn't get to go, but I'm thankful to see Mr. Ike after his 90th birthday. That was neat. I heard nothing but good things, Mr. Ike, but they were talking about Miss Shelby, so, I'm sorry. Yeah, Richard. Richard's out and about a little bit now. Y'all be careful. He's on the road, although he ain't supposed to be. Anything else? Anybody got any good stuff? It's great to see D back. It's wonderful. And it's great to see Judy Jordan, too. Old dirty dishing woman. Yeah, you're right. Okay, any other prayer requests? Anything anybody needs that we need to yeah, Larry. All right, those of y'all might be in cars, didn't hear that. Hank Jester has got kidney stones. He spent time in the ER last night and ain't doing real well with them, huh? I don't guess anybody is. Yeah. Okay. You didn't know it either, Luke. We need some rain. We certainly need rain. Our farmers are harvesting crops now, but they also want some rain from time to time, and now's probably one of those times. That we need some rain for the area. So let's certainly be in prayer for them. Our country, we need to be in prayer for our country continually. Y'all know as well as I do, it's a mess, and it's going to take the Lord to straighten it out. And we just got to believe and pray and stay with Him and hope that it all comes to fruition and everything turns out okay. Okay. Okay, what's her name? Brina Parker and her 3-year-old kid both just tested positive for COVID. Okay, they work. Okay. Also, Miss Karen Tabb is in the hospital. Many of y'all know Miss Karen. She has the COVID, and she's in Phoebe North, I think, is where they put her. But she needs prayers, okay? Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're glad to have you in here, Cheryl. And Gary, too, and the boys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's better being inside, huh? Okay. All right, then let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for another day, another time we can come to your house to worship you. And as Cheryl said, Lord, it's great to be back inside your house. It's good outside, but it's better inside sometimes, and we thank you for that. We pray for those that have been mentioned, Lord, those that are sick, those in the hospitals. Just ask, Lord, that you be with them, be with their families, be with the doctors as they tend to them. Lord, we thank you for Mr. Ike and for the 90 years he's celebrated and the influence he's had on so many lives. And we just pray you'll continue to be with him and Ms. Shelby and just lead them as they seek to lead us through their example. We pray, Lord, that you'll just be with Rick as he brings our message today. Lord, just go with us, guide us, direct us, forgive us for the times when we fail you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We had deacons meeting last week, and one of the things that we have been hearing is we need music. We want music, and we can't go back to a congregational singing yet, because of the guidelines and all that stuff. So Linnell Hatcher was supposed to sing today, but she's out of town. So I was supposed to sing next week, so I'm going to sing today, and then Linnell, and then Hank, and then maybe Heather, and some more on down the road. So anyway, this song is one that Dee got me to sing years ago, one Sunday morning. It's like, Mike, you're going to sing this. Dee, I can't. You are. That was the end of this discussion. So after I mumble through this and fumble through this. Rick will come and give us our message, and then we'll have our voting on the budget at the end of the service. So here goes. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed His name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take Him with me anywhere. I'll tell the world how Jesus saved me and how He gave me a life brand new. And I know that if you trust Him, that all He gave me, He'll give to you. I'll tell the world that He's my Savior. No other one could love me so. My life, my all is His forever. And where He leads me, I will go. I'll tell the world that He is coming. It may be near or far away, but we must live as if His coming would be tomorrow or today. For when He comes and life is over, for those who love Him, there's more to be. Eyes have never seen the wonders that He's preparing for you and me. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian. Be not ashamed His name to bear. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian and take Him with you everywhere.
Thank you, Ms. D. Mr. Mike, appreciate that. Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning, and it is good to be back. Acts chapter 1, if you would, if you have your Bibles. And let me just challenge you to please bring your Bibles. We're going to be going verse by verse and looking at some different scriptures. And so we're going to pick up exactly from what Brother Mike just sang in that last verse. Being a Christian, we want to tell people that Jesus is coming back. We want to continue to do that. I think that's one of the greatest motivational truths that can keep us walking in the right manner, living holy and pure and living as the Scriptures tell us to live. And in Acts chapter 1, I want us to look at verse 9. And this is a picture that Jesus has given to the disciples. And He's about to be resurrected in the sense of going up into heaven, to be exalted to the right hand of the Father. And in Acts chapter 1, we'll read verses 9 down through 11. And I want you to notice the reaction of these men, these disciples. The Bible says, "Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will go will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we have that solid biblical truth because Jesus told His disciples that He's going to go and prepare a place. And we know that He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, even praying for us this day. And Lord, we don't know the time. The Bible says we don't know the time that Christ is coming, but we do know that He is coming back. And Lord, the key is, are we ready? Are we prepared for his coming. And Father, my prayer is that when he does come, that he'll find us faithful. Father, he'll find us busy about, as Mike's saying, telling people that we're saved and that we're going to heaven, and what it takes to get there is just trusting Christ, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, believing the gospel that they might be saved, they might repent of their sins and turn to Jesus before it's too late. That's our duty. That's our calling while we're waiting on Christ to come back. And so, Father, I pray that you would instill that in my heart, our lives, as your church, that every chance that we get, that we'll share our testimony of how we were saved, and yet what's God doing in our lives today? And Father, we'll be careful to honor and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Notice it says several times in the scriptures, in verse 9 it says, "And when he had spoken these things." And it makes reference to what he's already said. If you remember back in John chapter 12, he began to talk about his death. Then in John 13, he washed his disciples' feet. And then from chapter 14 through the next several chapters, he gives some very instructive teaching, very important teaching. He told them that he was going to prepare a place for them. He also told them that he would come back one of these days. He also told them that the Comforter would come, that they were to wait right now, go to Jerusalem and wait. They might be endued with power. And that the Holy Spirit would come and he would bring to remembrance the things that they needed. And so he gave them some really solid instruction in 14, 15, and 16. Then we notice in 17, which is the Lord's Prayer, he prayed for himself. Then he prayed for those men, those disciples that there were before him. And then he began to pray for us. And it's just like after those chapters, boom, he's betrayed and he's going on trial. And there's not a whole lot of teaching. Of course, there is some teaching from the time of chapter 18 all the way to the cross. And of course, he gave some very strong instruction to him in John chapter 21. But what I want to share with you today, in the times that we're living in, you know, what are we to be doing while we're waiting? There's a guy by the name of John Waller who's a contemporary singer. And he said, you know, while I'm waiting, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship while I'm waiting. I'm going to sing while I'm waiting. I'm going to trust him while I'm waiting. I'm going to study while I'm waiting. I'm going to pray while I'm waiting. I'm going to share my faith while I'm waiting. I'm going to fellowship while I'm waiting. And there's a duty that needs to take place. And if you'll notice, when Jesus told these men to go to Jerusalem, of course, we know there was about 120 that came. And of course, on the day of Pentecost, they were endued with power. But I want to show you something I thought was really, really neat. If you would go back into the Gospel of John and look at chapter 15. And I think the good stuff that Jesus said was so important about the Spirit, what his ministry was going to be through them, what he was going to do in their lives. And he was going to bring back to their remembrance the things that they needed to do. But he gave some very strong instruction that they needed to hear, that we also need to hear. Notice, if you would, in John 15, starting at verse 18. He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him." They do not know God who sent me. "If I have not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated me, both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause." Then look, if you would, at chapter 16. He keeps saying these things, making reference to what he's already spoken. "These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time's coming that whoever kills you will think that he's offering God's service. And these things they will do to you because they've not known the Father nor me. But these things I've told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I do not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Over and over he says, I want you to catch the instruction. You know, God's gonna be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He's going to live inside of you. He's going to do great things. He's going to bring back to remembrance the teachings that I taught you, and continue just to trust in Him. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You're going to do some unbelievable things, but warn you, you're not of this world, but you're in this world. And the world's going to hate you. They're going to despise you. They're going to try to do whatever they can to get your focus off of what you ought to do. And you know, if you think about that, that's some good instruction to us. We need to remember that Christ is coming back. He said He is, and He is. We don't know when, but be ready, be prepared. We also know we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We know that 1 Peter chapter 1, and we were studying that before the virus came along. He has given unto us everything that we need to live this godly life. So we have a lot of great things that the Spirit of God is giving us. We have the Word of God. We have the opportunity of praying. We have His presence with us at all times. There's so many awesome things that we have. But remember, there's going to be trials. There are going to be viruses. There are going to be difficulties. And the question is, what is it that we need to do to be able to be strong and to hang in there? There are a couple things I want to just mention quickly. Number one, the first thing He wants us to do is stay permanent in our faith. Stay permanent in our faith. The Lord directed me this week to realize there were two major storms in the Gospels. There were two major storms in the Gospels. You'll find one in Matthew chapter 8. And you'll find another one in Matthew chapter 14. What I think is unique about these storms is three out of the four gospel writers mention this. And what this storm brings about, the first storm is where, you know, the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles by 8 miles. And all of a sudden, a storm could just come just like that. And a lot of times they'd be out fishing or be out doing their thing, and boom, a storm would come. And I think the issue that we need to realize about these storms is the response of the disciples. And if you remember, Jesus was asleep. He was already asleep. The water was getting into the boat. They were perishing, they thought. And they woke Him up and said, "You got to do something. We're fixing to die." And Jesus says, "O ye of little faith." Trust me. Trust me. O ye of little faith. The same thing happens, remember, in Matthew 14 when Jesus was walking on the water. You know, Peter was criticized a lot by the disciples, but did you know he's the only one that got out of the boat and got on the water. And yet he began to look at Christ and things were great, but he began to look at the waves and the winds, and all of a sudden he began to sink and he cried out to God. And the same principle is, O ye of little faith. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 11, and verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to believe Him. We need faith. And God takes trials. God takes viruses. God allows situations, storms, difficulties in our lives to be able to stretch our faith. I've heard people say, you know, I'm not sure how strong I am. Well, wait till a storm comes. Wait till a virus comes. Wait till a tribulation, an obstacle, a difficulty. And it's with that situation comes how we respond tells a lot about our faith. And so in the Scriptures, it teaches us to stay strong in our faith. And I've asked myself this week, and sometimes there's a temptation to sort of become weak, become looking at the ways and looking at things that are going on and saying, man, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. What's going on? But our faith needs to be strong. We need to have stable faith. We need to have strong faith. We need to have a faith that's steady. We need to have a faith that's sure and strong. There needs to be a consistency in our faith, that our faith is growing. It's not staying the same. It's becoming stronger and stronger as we study God's Word, as we use God's Word in our everyday lives, as we pray and seek His face and the calling that He's called us to do, whether it's to be a witness or whatever it might be, to continue to do what He's called us to do. So stay permanent in your faith. The second thing I want you to notice is stay peaceful. If you remember, Jesus mentioned in chapter 12, He was about to die. He washed the disciples' feet in chapter 13, and they were just really, their faith was not very strong at all. And Jesus gave that great passage in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to where I am." And He tried to comfort them. And what He was actually saying is, stay peaceful if you trust me. If you trust me, trust my person. Trust in who I am. Trust in the promises that I have given you. Trust in the things that I've shared with you. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He's entering your life, as you study God's Word. Rest in the Word. And there's a song by, I think it's Jackie Velasquez, that says, "I will rest in you." That's a beautiful song talking about putting your faith and your trust in the Lord. I will rest in you. I will rest in you. And that's what God wants us to do, to trust Him with everything that we have. And He was saying to those disciples, you know, trust me. Then He began to share with them, "I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not by yourself. You're never alone. The Spirit of God, who has always been around, is now going to be inside of you. He will bring back to your remembrance the teachings that I've given you. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He will lead you. He will direct you. He will protect you." And He lists all these kinds of great things that we might rest in the principles of the Lord. Now, to be able to stand firm and to be permanent and to be peaceful, we need to be people of the Word. We need to be reading the Word. We need to be studying the Word. We need to be memorizing the Word. We need to be meditating upon the Word. I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. He said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." See, that's the key. I was listening to Charles Stanley last night, and he was talking about Satan and the battle that we have with our enemy, Satan, and his demonic forces. And he said, one of the major places that Satan will attack you is your mind. That's why I think the proverb writer in chapter 4 and verse 23, where he said, "Guard your heart, guard your mind, for out of that mind come all the issues of life." And that's exactly what he did with Eve. God had given her the Word, given Adam the Word, and then here comes that deceiver, that liar, and he began to put doubt in her mind, and she began to think a little bit differently, and all of a sudden, boom, she's fallen into sin and giving it to Adam. Adam knew better. He sinned deliberately, but it started out in the mind. And that's why it's important to put the Word in your mind. And I know it's hard. Man, the older you get, the harder it gets to memorize Scripture over and over again, putting in your mind and your heart. But that's the place of attack. That's why we need to keep reading and studying the Word of God. Then if you'll notice, let's go to Romans chapter 14 real quickly. Not only should we stay permanent in our faith and stay peaceful as we rest in Christ, but notice Romans 14, we need to stay productive. Look what Romans 14, verse 19 says. Romans 14, 19. The Bible says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." You know what? I wonder, and I've asked myself the question, what kind of people, what kind of a church are we? Are we a thankful church? Are we a church that builds each other up? You know, that's something that's important. I'm not talking about just being flattered, you know, giving flattery things, but building each other up. That's what the word edify means. It means to build up, to encourage one another, to lift each other up. We have too many situations around us to be negative. We need some positive biblical encouragement. That's why I like to read about Barnabas. Every situation you find on Barnabas, he's always encouraging somebody, lifting them up. And so in this time of this virus, there needs to be encouragement. We need to, whether it be a call or a letter or whatever it might be, to encourage one another in the Lord. And we see that throughout the Scriptures. You can also find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, where it says to edify one another. Now, there's a lot of those one another's out there because it's for the church, it's for the believers to love one another, to pray for one another, to serve one another, all those kind of things. It's for us in our edification of building up one another. And then the last thing I want to mention real quickly, turn if you would to Colossians. I really, really like this verse. In Colossians chapter 3, keep in mind, stay permanent in your faith. Stay peaceful as you rest in Him. Stay productive by building one another up. And then lastly, stay positioned. Look what Paul says to the church at Colossians. He says in verse 1, if, the word if there means since. Since then you were raised with Christ, here it is, seek those things which are above. Seek those things that are heavenly. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Notice, second of all, set your mind on things above. See, there it is right there, the mind. That's where Satan attacks. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, when we were saved, you know, our identity now, we're in Christ. When Christ died, we died. When Christ was resurrected, we were resurrected. And so he says, set your heart, set your focus on things above, set your mind, think about those things. And when I thought about that, remember that passage over in Philippians 4, where it says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things, he says, think, meditate, consider those things. There's about six or seven things. And I believe that's one of the most important things, as we focus our heart and our mind more on God, then I think the things around us will become a little bit less. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So he tells us in Colossians, stay positioned. Make sure your heart is on things above. Make sure your mind are on things above, where He is, and concentrate, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He leads you. And as you study and as you pray, as you learn, the Spirit of God brings those things to your mind, those verses that you're memorizing. When an issue comes up, the Spirit of God brings those things in your mind. You'll be able, like Jesus, when He was tempted by the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. So even though we're going through some difficult, dark kinds of times, we still, by God's grace, we can stay permanent in our faith. May our faith grow. In fact, I think it's, is it Luke 17 where it says, the disciples said, Lord, would you increase our faith? Our faith needs to be increased, and it does become increased as we respond correctly to trials and situations that we find ourselves in each and every day. But stay permanent in your faith. Stay peaceful as we rest in Christ, as we trust His person, as we trust His power, as we trust His promises, as we trust what His plan is for our lives. And then we're to stay productive. Let's encourage each other more. Let's lift each other more up in prayer. Let's pray for our church. And I appreciate each and every one that this week, it was a really good week. I agree with Brother Mike with the Pray Georgia. We had the opportunity this week to pray about repentance. We prayed about unity and harmony. We prayed about God healing our land. We prayed about salvations. And we prayed about spiritual renewal. And we prayed about wisdom. And those were awesome things to be able to have the privilege as a church, as individuals, to pray. And I hope your week has been a good week. A lot of times when you go through things like that, sometimes the week is not too good because of the attack, because Satan doesn't want you to think about those kinds of things. He doesn't want us to get together and pray about those things. And so I appreciate each and every one of you guys that have been looking over those issues, the material that you've got, whether it be online or whether we had given out to you last week, and that God has really made an impression upon your life, and you've gotten a little bit closer to the Lord because you spent a lot of time in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning. And Lord, help us to stay prepared. Lord, we know the Word of God teaches over and over again that we need to prepare ourselves, Are we ready? Are we set? Are we steady? And Father, I know the Word of God says in Jeremiah 46:14, Lord, stand fast and prepare yourselves. I know when Amos came around in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, be prepared to meet your God. And Lord, I pray that those were truths that, Father, would motivate us to look for your coming every day. And even if you don't come at the end of the day, Lord, say, I looked for you this week. I anticipated your come, to your return today. But maybe not today. We'll look for you tomorrow. And have that type of attitude, because he is coming back. And I pray that when he does, he'll find us faithful. Father, I pray he'll find our faith strong. Lord, I pray he'll find us trusting in you. Father, I pray that he'll find us lifting you up and glorifying you, and also encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, I pray that when he comes back, Lord, that he'll find our focus has been on you. Our hearts and our minds have been totally upon you, and we've been growing in our faith and growing, Lord, in our relationship with you. And it's become more intimate as we learn more about who you are, and as we give up and give over all of our lives to you, as we surrender, like Romans 12 says, that, Father, we'll be strong, and, Father, that you'll use us in great and mighty ways. Father, I pray that this week there's been people saved. I pray that this week there have been saints of God who've grown strong, who have more of a desire to pray and read the Word of God and share their faith and all those kinds of things. Because, Father, the Spirit of God has led us and directed us to do those things. Father, I pray that you'll also help us as Ezra. The Bible says that Ezra prepared his heart. He got his heart right. Then he sought the law of the Lord. He sought the Word of God. Then he did what God's Word had to say. And then he was able to teach that to others. May, Lord, our hearts be that way as well. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here. Also, we'll go ahead and consider ourselves in conference right now, our conference. And if you didn't get a list, if you'll hold your hand up, Brother Larry will be glad to come, and Miss Anita too, to give you a nominating for 2020 and 2021. Okay, awesome. Awesome. We'll give you okay, Miss Alita is going to come outside, guys, and she's going to give you, if you don't have one of the nominating committee reports, she's going to give you an opportunity to look at that. And we appreciate the nominating team that spent time, many weeks, praying and studying. And thank you for you that have supported, that when asked to do some things, that you were open to that. Thank you so much for that. So we'll give them outside as well some time to look over it. And I'm thinking that Brother Larry is going to come and share that here in just a minute.